So as we celebrate this feast day of the Holy Family, the question I'd like to reflect on is, what is a holy family? You know, what makes a family holy? And I think it's an important question for us to reflect upon, you know, as our nation faces a crisis in marriage, where there's plummeting numbers of people getting married, a lot of marriages are breaking apart, and, you know, family life is in disarray in our nation. And even though we fall short of the ideal, I think it's important for us to look at the ideal of what marriage and family life are supposed to be in order to strive to live that. And so what is a holy family? Well, I think the first thing is it's a family that creates an environment of authentic charity, you know, of true and authentic love. And that begins with the husband and wife. It begins with the marriage vows that they make. And when a husband and wife come together in marriage, they make a promise, they make a commitment, and no matter how they feel, no matter what's going on, that they're going to be faithful and treat their spouse with authentic love, which means always acting in a way that benefits the true and authentic good of the one that they love. You know, whether they feel like it or not, whether things are going well or not, they make the commitment to be faithful to each other and to treat each other with authentic love. And it's those marriage vows and living by those vows that create the stability that a family needs in order to flourish. And if God blesses them with children, and as those children come into the world, they look first and foremost to the relationship of their father and mother in order to learn what authentic love is. You know, they learn the image of God the Father is their Father here on earth. And their image of what it means to love and to be faithful to someone is what first and foremost what they see between their mother and their father. In our readings today, we're given a lot of very good advice about what makes for a flourishing family. In the book of Sirach, it talks to children and says to honor and revere your father and mother. And that's a difficult thing for young people to do, especially if they want to rebel and they don't like the authority of their parents. You know, but the reality is if children do not respect and obey their parents, there's going to be constant anger and hostility and friction within the family. You know, there's no way around it. You know, the only way to have a flourishing family is if children respect the lawful and proper authority of their parents. And in learning to respect their parents, they learn to respect the authority of God the Father in heaven. St. Paul lists a number of virtues. He talks about kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And he says to bear with one another and forgive as you have been forgiven. You know, if we want to live a flourishing life, reflect on these virtues and whether we're living these out or not. Because if we don't live out those virtues, there's going to be no peace within our family. You know, if we're not humble, if we can't admit when we're wrong, or if we're not concerned with the benefit of others above ourselves, if we're not patient with people, and if we can't bear with our family members, then there's going to be no peace within our family. But if we have those virtues, it's going to peace and happiness are going to flourish. You know, we should never take these virtues for granted because they don't come automatically. You know, it takes a lot of hard work, but I think it's important for family members to ask the question, do they want a flourishing and a happy family environment where charity rules? And if so, every member of the family needs to buy in and follow Christ's teachings that he gives us, because that's the secret to a flourishing family, is when individual members buy in and make a commitment to live by those virtues and to follow Christ's teachings. You know, holy families, in addition to creating an environment of true charity, a holy family recognizes that there's a higher purpose for their family. That they're not there by random chance or by accident. And that it's not just self-indulgence that a family exists for. You know, that there's a higher mission in God's plan. And that the love within a family is ultimately meant to lead us to the love of God. You know, the love that a husband and wife show to each other and the joy and the happiness that comes from a flourishing marriage when a husband and wife are committed to each other and live authentic love is meant to be a foretaste of the much greater love that God has for his people. And so there's a higher purpose for marriage. And children are given to parents as a gift, and parents have the responsibility to raise their kids and to bring them up to know and to love God, to lead them on the path to salvation. And there's no greater gift that a family can give to their children than the gift of faith and love of God, because that's the only place where true joy is found. And so a holy family will recognize the higher purpose and they'll order their lives to living for that higher purpose. So what do we need to do on a practical level to create an environment and to foster an environment for a holy family? Well, I'll list a few things. First thing, personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Do the members of our family, do parents and do children, know and have an experience of the love of Jesus Christ? You know, if they don't love and if they don't know Jesus Christ, then coming to church isn't going to be very fulfilling. It's just going to become a menial task that they have to do. And praying together as a family, if you pray the rosary or different devotions, it's going to lack a higher meaning if people do not, first and foremost, know and love Jesus Christ. And so that's the first question. Do the members of our family authentically have a relationship of love with Jesus Christ? And if not, take some time in prayer. And to ask the question, how do I know the love of Jesus Christ? Or how has he shown his love for me? Or why is a friendship with Jesus Christ better, more powerful, and more transformative to my life than any other friendship that I could possibly have? So that's the first question for a holy family. Personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Second point, is that parents should foster an environment where they lead by example. Every single person in the family, every single neighbor, every single friend, every single coworker should know that the most important thing in your life is Jesus Christ. Does every single person know that? Do your children know that? Or if they ask you what's most important, you know, would they say football or something else? Now, do people know that your faith is the most important thing? Are you instilling that and passing that on to your children? The parents are always the first teachers of the faith to their children. It's not the Sunday morning parish faith formation that's the primary. Primarily, it's the parents who are who have the responsibility to teach the faith to their children. Third thing, a holy family is going to protect their family from the evil influences of the society around us. We have to protect our families like a sanctuary. You know, our culture is obsessed with everything except religion. And so we do need to insulate our families from subversive influences from the culture around us. And we have to be very careful not to assimilate everything from the culture. Because some of the things in our culture we need to back away from. And we need to separate our families from negative influences. You know, if sports have become so dominant that your family can't eat together and have regular family dinners, that's a problem. Now, how are you going to instill the faith and pass on your values to your children if you can't even share a meal together? You know, if sports have become that dominant, you're not going to get that time back with your family. Forget the sports. Quit. It's not that important. You know, no one in eternity is going to look back and remember that your child in the fifth grade scored a goal in soccer. And if your child loses their salvation, we have to have proper priorities and recognize what may not be healthy for our families. Another thing that's important is to foster an environment of chastity within our families, because lust is rampant within our society. You know, what is chastity? It's the virtue that properly orders our desires according to right reason. You know, we have to order those desires properly. And in particular, we have to protect our families against the negative images and things that are available on the internet. You know, those are destroying our young people and destroying their minds. You know, there have been studies on the effects that it has on people's brains when they expose themselves to that. And what they've done is they've looked at different areas of the brain, and different areas are responsible for different things. You know, one part of the brain lights up with activity when you see a tool, like a hammer. You know, that's one part of the brain that controls objects and utilitarian things. When you see a person, there's another part of the brain that lights up for relationships. And when a person looks at inappropriate images online and they see people in those images, the part of the brain that lights up is the part that operates tools. Why? Because they're not looking at those images and seeing a person. They're seeing someone that they can use to get pleasure, just like you use a hammer or a flashlight. And so it actually rewires a person's brain so they start looking at other people literally as objects instead of as real people. And it also trains the mind to deconstruct people, and instead of seeing them as a whole person and seeing their personality, they begin to deconstruct them and see them as parts of their body rather than a whole person. It also distorts young people's understanding of the purpose of the marital act. You know, I've taught entire classes of high school kids, and I ask them, you know, what is the biological function of the marital act? Very often they don't know. It's like, how can you not know that it produces children? But they don't recognize that because all they see is pleasure, because oftentimes their minds have been distorted. And it'll distort young people's understanding of the marital act. It'll distort their attitudes, and it leads to more permissive attitudes when it comes to premarital or extramarital relations. They have more lenient attitudes towards rape or same-sex activity. It literally changes the way that their mind perceives those things and often leads to addiction as well. And those effects are reversible if a person is able to break from that sin. But from the standpoint of the family, we have to actively insulate our families and try and protect them from evil influences. You know, young people should, especially in grade school, should not have access to the internet without supervision. We wouldn't leave loaded guns laying around the house for them to play with. Nor should we leave the internet with free access. There should be filters, and our young people should be supervised. And even teenagers, it should be allowed only on a case-by-case basis, you know, based on the maturity of our young people and their you know, their development in the virtue of chastity. And the final point is to immerse our families in a positive environment. Bring your kids to confession. Bring them to church often. Allow them to read books and watch movies that encourage positive virtues and not so much the filth that's out there. So as we celebrate this feast day of the Holy Family, I think one important thing for us to do is we should all be praying for the protection and for the health of our families, that we might have strong families within our parish and within the church. And I also encourage you to pick one thing that you can do, one practical step that you can do to build your family up and to build yourself up in holiness. You know, what can you do as an individual to help foster an environment of holiness and allow charity to rule within your family?